Welcome to Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on all things Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Wes Goldberg, Warriors writer for the Mercury News, and joining me from an empty Chase Center, and not because everybody died from coronavirus, but because everybody has left, because we're still here, is Dieter Kurkenbach with the Mercury News as well, our esteemed columnist. Dieter, for some reason, you were also at this game, and I was also at this game, and a lot of people were not at this game. And there were even fewer people at the game by the time it was over because it ended up being a 30-point blowout.
Yeah, it was not a good game for the Warriors. Clippers looked fine. They slept walk through half of it. They still put a buck 31 on the board. Very comfortable win over the Warriors, who very much looked like a G League team today because, effectively, they are.
They are a G League team, yes. No Steph Curry tonight. No Draymond Green tonight. Steph is out with his second straight game with the flu. Allegedly, the seasonal flu,
yes,
and only the seasonal
flu. Basic flu, as it's now being called. I didn't know that we were differentiating them, but alas, here we are.
These are the days that we live in. And look, there's really not a lot to talk about in this game. I think like the only thing of note was that almost the people who didn't play, Juan Toscano-Anderson, we'll talk about him a little bit later, he went down after about 50 seconds.
Yes, exactly 50 seconds.
It was exactly 50 seconds, and I look up. I like literally got to my seat, and I look up, and he's limping off the locker room, but we'll talk about him later. I want to talk about just sort of the atmosphere tonight because all day we've been sort of leading up. We didn't even know this game was going to be played.
And we didn't, right? In good conscience, it probably should not have been given the outbreaks. I mean, hell, just one county south or two counties south from here in San Francisco, one county south from me in Alameda County, Santa Clara County, home of City of San Jose, San Jose Sharks, San Jose Earthquakes, they put a kibosh, a ban on all gatherings of over 1,000 people.
Right.
And so that means that the San Jose Sharks are going to have to find a place to play their game. They next play on the 19th at SAP Center. That will not go on. The Earthquakes have a game, I think, on the 23rd against Kansas City. Not that anyone cares, but they're going to have to find a new venue. And given the rise in cases and the expected continuation of that rise, exponential rise at that, the expectation around here is that the city of San Francisco, if not the entire state of California, is going to execute similar bans. So the Warriors have basically told everybody in, I think, pretty well PR'd statements that they're going to keep having games. There's no like ticket refund system or anything. They're just going. The city, the state, the county hasn't told them to stop hosting games. Every epidemiologist or whatever at the CDC, they're saying don't do it.
Yeah.
But until the city or some government puts in a ban, the Warriors are not going to pass up the $5 million that they make from every home game here at Chase Center. It might even be more than that. They were making $3.4 million a game last season at Oracle Arena, which was number one in the NBA. The expectation is that that number could come close to double here at Chase Center. It's just not something that they're going to do. They're not going to pass it up. And while it probably,
because the arena just opened, it cost them $1.6 billion.
They got some bills to pay.
Yeah.
And if they were to, let's just presume, right, they were to, out of abundance of caution, say, okay, we have 8 home games left, including this one tonight that actually was played. That's $40 million.
Yeah.
Conservatively. I know that Joe Lacob has money coming out of his ears. I know that the Warriors print cash. $40 million is something you really do have to account for.
Yeah.
It's one thing to lose a game. It's one thing to maybe even lose two.
Right.
That just doesn't happen in the NBA, and it won't happen in the NBA, in my opinion, because the vast majority of cities in this league are not being at least directly impacted by this bug that's going around.
Right.
Maybe that's just a matter of time, but ultimately, as of 2017, almost half the teams in the NBA were operating in the red. Now, a lot of that's by choice, but they're operating in the red. Most of the teams in the league, and in fact, all of them, if you want to take a very conservative viewpoint of it, need gate revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And the NBA is not going to blanket and say, no gate revenue whatsoever. We're doing closed doors because they would have to do it across the league. Otherwise, you're isolating teams that are in situations they don't want to. The Warriors don't want to close their gates. They don't want to pass up the money. Now, if they have to, they have to, and they'll figure something out then. But the NBA cannot just do a blanket ban because Charlotte doesn't have this issue, and Charlotte needs their gate money. The Warriors don't want to lose their gate money. So it's going to be really tricky here over the next, I would say, 48 hours from when we're talking now, on the basis of the NBA is not really going to do anything. They will come up with prescriptions. Sorry for the pun, but like they'll come up with remedies for how they can get these teams to continue to make money if they have, if the government's that basically, you know, are in their areas say, you got to go.
Well, and that's what, and San Francisco is pressuring the Warriors right now to make the decision on their own. And it's, that's just, they're not going
to
do that.
If someone pressures you to part with $5 million, is that something you do? Again, no. I know that the owners are very rich men, that this is a very rich team.
Right.
$5 million is not something that you just give up willy-nilly.
We're not talking about owners necessarily. We're talking about businesses.
Businesses, exactly.
And you brought up the Sharks earlier, and that it's really interesting. Like, okay, look.
They don't have a choice.
I mean, they don't have a choice, and they also don't make nearly the revenue at the gate that a basketball team does. And like the San Jose Sharks,
they probably
make
over $1 million a game.
Yeah, that's nice for the NHL, but it's a different sort of stratosphere we're talking about in the NBA, and that's why I think the NBA is going to go all the way to the very edge of what they could possibly get away with. And as we're sitting here recording this, there was a report from ESPN that they could move some of these games from the cities that have been affected by this to neutral sites, maybe Las Vegas,
Kansas City.
Like, okay, so first of all, I'm all in for more time in Las Vegas. I'm okay with that.
They don't have the buffets at the casinos anymore. Are you sure you're still in?
I will not eat at a buffet for the rest of my life after this coronavirus situation.
Yeah.
So I'll stick to
ordering
as a
lifelong germaphobe and somebody who has constantly been preparing for this. And I don't want to make light of it because it is very serious.
Sure.
Not for us, the able-bodied people, and certainly not for the players who are far more able-bodied than us. Though perhaps it could be. I mean, who knows the severity? But for older people, if you're over 55, 60 years old, there's a very high death rate here. And we're lucky that we're of an age where we can be kind of crass about it to a little bit of a degree, that we can view it in, you know, somewhat, we can bring a little bit of levity to the conversation and not, it doesn't feel so existential to us. For a lot of people, this is existential. But at the same time, when you're talking about a business, gate revenue is existential for those businesses. And the NBA is not, they lose enough money as is. They're not in the interest of losing any more money. This is a big problem for them. And beyond that, it's a massive problem because as much as they have, and I think it's the right move. I hope that it switches back when everything is blown over. I hope that the warm weather helps. I hope that we get over this because we're living in a really weird time here in the Bay Area. But I understand closing locker room access. One guy on the team gets it. That's bad. I mean, these guys live in petri dishes, essentially, because of the proximity. They're all on the same plane. They're all in the same locker room, same hotel. Like, they're already quarantined together. Yes. You can't get it into that ecosystem. So I understand that, and I wouldn't trust the media either to not have it. Like, just straight up.
No,
like,
I agree.
You don't know where they came from, and it's probably
commercial
not the cleanest.
Mostly.
Yeah, it's not the cleanest place. But at the same time, tonight, how many fans were sitting courtside? How many fans are sitting closer to the players than we were allowed to sit in the press conference? And again, this is not a woe is us thing, right? This is this is serious times. Mm-hmm. That's a thing that they could do without repercussion. What are we going to say? No, we need to be up close and personal. We need to do our work.
Right.
We can talk from a distance. That's not a big deal. It'd be great if we still had access, but if we can't do it safely, we shouldn't do it. But clearly, that level, there's a level of cognitive dissonance to it, and I'm fascinated to see how that develops in the days that come, because ultimately, I do think that this will probably be the case study for the rest of the league. And I'm sad to say, I don't think this is just going to get better, that everything's just going to be okay. A lot of places in the U.S., at least the way it looks to me now, and again, I'm not a doctor or anything, but we've seen how this operates. There are a lot of smart people who knows how it operates. I'm reading them. I'm doing my best to understand it. I'd venture to say that where we're at right now, the peculiarity, the weirdness, the predicament that the Bay Area is in right now, that Los Angeles is in right now, Seattle, not an NBA city, but they're in right now, that New York is in right now, this is going to be the norm for a lot of other places in the span of a week or two. Yep. And how the Warriors handle this is very interesting. And I know a lot of people want to get righteously indignant over it. Oh, you know, they need to think about the fans, this and that. It is a business. The NBA, again, operates in favor of those businesses. And I think that things are probably just going to get weirder because everyone wants that bread.
Right. Well, and they're operating in a way that, hey, you could buy tickets to the game. You could try to sell them on the third-party market. Or if you don't want to come, don't show up. And a lot of people just did not show up. And that
and
is,
credit to them, but man, that sucks.
It definitely sucks. And it's just but at the same time, they're not going to come to the game if the game's canceled anyway. So there's some of that too. I want to talk a little bit more about how this is affecting the players, how they're generally reacting to it, and how it's going to affect us as sports writers going forward a little bit. But first, let me tell you about the most useful app on my iPhone. It's hard to find a time to sit down to read and learn more. And when you don't have free time, you can't read or work on personal development. There is an incredible app that solves this problem. I highly recommend it. It is called Blinkist. Blinkist is really unique. It works on your phone, your tablet, or your web browser. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know info from thousands of nonfiction books, and condenses them down to just 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people like business leaders are well known for reading a lot of books. Blinkist is made for busy people like you who want to get the main points of a book quickly so you can start using that information right away. And with its audio feature, Blinkist, it makes it easy to finish a book during your commute or on your lunch break or just while you're exercising. 12 million people are using Blinkist right now, and it has a massive and growing library. From self-help, business, health, to history books, Blinkist has the latest titles from bestseller lists as well as classic nonfiction titles you always meant to read but you just never had the time to do. With Blinkist, get your unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books that you want to read, and all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA and try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off of your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, like Blink-182, but not really. Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. You'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA.
Peculiar times, Wes.
Peculiar times. Blinkist will be good because you're just going to be quarantined in your house, and it's just like cliff notes for important things.
You get through a lot of self-help books during that time. We might need them here.
I could have used a lot more of those Blinkist type of self-help titles. But look, as far as how the players are reacting, they do seem to know. Every player I've talked to says, you know what I know.
Yes.
Right? And
they are not CDC specialists.
They're not. As Marquise Chriss pointed out today, and as Kai Bowman so expertly put it, you got to watch out for the germs.
Yep.
And
them germs.
Got to watch out for them germs.
Yeah.
And we are watching out for them germs as much as possible.
Yeah.
And, you know, every time you talk to the players, they're just, wash your hands for 20 seconds. You know, don't touch your face. All the stuff that we're
reading. Public health. And listen, what else are they supposed to say? And same with Steve Kerr. He doesn't know anything more. And it doesn't seem like the league knows much. It doesn't seem like the teams know much. And it really just comes down to the state and local governments and if they're going to let these games go on. I'm almost heartened to see so few people show up. It would have been nice had the Warriors had a ticket buyback program for people who didn't want to go against, I don't know, every doctor's recommendation to not show up in an arena of 20,000 people. We're lucky that we have, you know, isolated bunkers. We don't have to sit next to somebody. Not enough people showed up tonight to where we didn't get some space if we wanted it.
Right.
But I'm heartened that a lot of people didn't show up because it did lower the amount of people you can come into contact. And the Warriors, to their credit, have done a really good job from what I can tell in cleaning the place up afterwards and sanitizing it and such, but still.
Sterile bottles all over the place. But and look, we're not allowed in the locker rooms anymore, which has been, you know, this is the first game where that's been the case. It had been talked about and discussed, and officially by the time we showed up to this game, we had officially been barred from locker rooms. Shoot around was a little weird this morning. Practices around the rest of the league were weird, where everything's being held in makeshift, you know, press conference setups for visiting teams, just a regular press conference room. For home teams, a lot of home teams don't do their practices and shoot-arounds at their facilities, so they'll do it, you know, it's just like, it's sort of just this makeshift thing.
As much as it is, you know, convenient for the Warriors to have everything under one roof, when they used to have to go to the practice facility in Oakland and then the arena was down the street, that might have been better for them.
Oh, my gosh.
Given this scenario.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in the case of the plague, that was better.
Yeah.
I kind of go back and forth on this. I don't know how much. I think we kind of tend to do this straw man thing of fans don't care about us sports writers. They think we have the best job. And generally speaking, they don't care about sports writers as much as they care about their favorite players and teams.
Yeah.
But they do, I think, fans, and especially fans listening to something like this, which is a daily show about their team, understand the access that comes with that.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot less of that access.
No question.
Already. And I'm not, look, right, I go back and forth. Right now, I get it. Like, don't let nasty beat reporters who are dirty and don't shower into the locker rooms. I understand.
I shower before every game, I promise you. Every practice,
that's really good.
I can't guarantee.
I'm glad you make that a practice. But I there is a worry out there among, you know, professional writers that this is going to set a precedent because it's not just the NBA doing this, it's all leagues, and that they could basically come together and say, you know what? The coverage seemed really great when you guys weren't in the locker rooms. Like, do you really need it? And so do you think that this is setting a precedent or where do you stand on this?
It's one of those things where it absolutely sets a precedent. And if there isn't a diligence to get it back, it will not be given back.
Right.
And this is where the collective power of the Professional Basketball Writers Association, Professional Football Writers Association, Hockey Writers, all those, they come in handy. I think that the sports that are going to be hurt the most, and obviously all of them will be, but the ones that really stand out are basketball and baseball.
Yeah.
Baseball is a sport that has a massive amount of clubhouse access before games and after games. And doing stuff in a podium environment, sure, you can do that. But there's 26 guys on a roster. There's a lot of turnover on that roster. You get to know these guys. You get to live in their environment. You're in their home. They're in their living room every day. And you're in there for a long time. You're hanging out in there just like them. Those are relationships that you build up. It's a macro relationship, 162 games, 81 home games. Everyone knows each other's names. Everyone knows each other's faces. And for better, you can get really good stories off of that. If you write something that they don't like, you're not going to get any good stories off of that. But that relationship between reporter and team, reporter and certain players, that is forged through effort and practice and persistence.
And it's the same thing in the NBA. So many – and look, the thing that I don't think fans really understand, there's no way that they can understand this, because my stories, your stories, they don't come with an index of this was gotten in the locker room in a private conversation.
Right.
This was gotten in a press conference.
Like, now, I will sometimes shadily put in told the Mercury News told me. I can get away with the told me because of the columnist thing.
Right.
And then sometimes I'll put that jab in there. But you're 100% right.
Yeah.
You don't understand where it's coming from, because you're also not going to then cross-reference it with everyone else who wrote on that subject and see, oh, who had the most interesting quotes.
And I'll tell you, I mean, half of, I think, the good stories I wrote this year, which is, you know, not many, but there's enough out there, so I could split it in half, but came from just private conversations in locker rooms, or even better, like leads that came off of private conversations in locker rooms that lead to future one-on-one access. And by the way, 100%. One-on-one access across the NBA is being cut.
Yes.
And the Warriors, to their credit, have not been doing that. They've been figuring out ways to get around that
system. And credit to Ray Ritter for that.
Yeah, Ray Ritter. He's the man. I understand it right now. I get it. I think you need to put health
first.
These
are desperate times.
And I don't
legitimately. This is a very strange time. I'll note though that the one move that it seems that everyone was able to make with a quickness was get the media out of here.
Yeah,
that was the one thing. And it comes down to power. And it comes down, access has to be granted.
Correct.
Right. You can revoke as much access as you want. And ultimately, yes, we will bitch and whine and complain because you are taking away our livelihoods, some more than others. Marcus Thompson made a great point today on his podcast, Warriors Plus Minus, that's where he has made his entire career. He is not a press conference guy.
No, he's a locker room guy.
He's a locker room guy.
Yep.
And he is legitimately, I've been in this business for 11, 12 years now. I'm not that much of a locker room guy. I'm a read the tea leaves kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I'm an analysis kind of guy. And I value the insight of very smart players so that they can help me understand something.
Right.
And that's where I use the locker room. Can you help me understand this better? Because I'm confused after doing my homework. But Marcus is a guy who just – I've never seen anyone like him in terms of working the room. And that, again, that's how he puts bread on the table for his family.
Correct.
So not having that access now, he's going to have a much harder time doing it. Listen, we can all get on the phone too. And I think that teams are going to find this out here pretty soon. We all get on the phone. You know who we talk to? It isn't anyone about good stuff.
Right. Right.
No one gets on the phone for compliments.
Right.
I can compliment myself. You can compliment. No one has a problem with editorialized compliments.
Right.
But we source a lot of stuff that's bad. And we keep it in our back pocket. And if you don't give us access, well, we don't have anything else to write but bad stuff now.
True.
And that's not fair. It isn't fair because we should be celebrating the wonderful achievements, even for a crappy team.
Sure.
The wonderful achievements of a Michael Mulder gets a contract and your wonderful story and all that. You can't do that without access to
it.
And you probably can't get those same quotes off of a guy on the phone. And so what is it that content is going to be? What is it that people actually want? We're going to find that out in a big way.
I'll tell you how you can look at it. Look at what's going on in LA right now.
Right.
When was the last interesting thing you read about the Clippers or the Lakers? Nothing. You haven't read anything all season.
Well, that's not true. You know what we have read that's been interesting on them? Items that they would call hit pieces.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It's only the bad stuff.
Only the bad stuff.
Only the stuff that then only pulls away more access. And the Clippers are draconian.
And they're terrible at this.
They're like the OKC of the West.
We're talking about the Lakers, the number one record in the West.
Right.
And the Clippers are the number two ranked team in the West.
Yeah.
And there ought to be more good things written about the number one and two teams.
You would think that there would be just a steady flow of interesting, redemptive stories. Real fluff piece.
Yeah.
Listen, sometimes reality is a fluff piece.
Sure.
I love writing the fluff pieces.
Yes.
I love waxing poetic. When the Warriors were dominating, it was a blast to tell everyone how much better they were than everybody
else. One of my
else.
Favorite things about, like, reading stuff on LeBron over the years, and there's been a lot of good stuff written on LeBron.
Unbelievable. And he allows that access in.
He used to.
Used to.
And you know, I remember in Miami.
Well, he still does, as long as you're on the payroll.
That's right. Yeah, if you, you know, work for ESPN.
Yeah.
I think if you know, the bike riding stories, he reads the books in the locker room. I haven't read any of that stuff. And he's got all these new business interests happening right now. He's an avid meditator. I would love to read the LeBron meditation story.
Mind you, he has a stake in Calm.
Yeah, I mean, that's why.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to represent. Anyway. I want to talk. We have one question from Twitter about the actual game, sort of.
Great.
It's more long term. We're going to get to that after this. All right, our tweet of the game comes from Mavs Draft. Not really sure why
Mavs Draft fan. He's concerned about the lottery, man. He used to be in it. Now he isn't. He's got to figure it out.
Mavericks fan on a Tuesday night. Find something else to do, man.
He's on TNT.
He lives in Dallas, probably. So, you know.
Listen,
Dallas is the Chili's of America, and there's not a whole lot to do there. So you watch
first
Warriors
off,
games.
I love that. But second, can we just establish that now is no time to not be building coalitions, Wes? We need all the people we can
come
get.
Come on in, Mavs Draft.
Yeah, just don't come into this building. That's bad for public health.
That's right. Mavs Draft writes in, oh, man, he's been surprisingly good relative to expectations.
Who is this, I should say, in
reference to my tweet about Juan Toscano-Anderson going down after 50 seconds of basketball.
Yeah.
Oh, man, he's been surprisingly good relative to expectations. I think he has a future as an end-of-bench guy in the league, hoping for a speedy recovery so he can get extended audition in his season.
Let me ask you this.
Ooh,
because
the table. Like it.
You and I have both been big Michael Mulder fans.
Big time.
And he signs a multi-year contract, which is really just end of this year, non-guaranteed for next year, but he has an inside track.
I think it's going to be 3 years, but non-guaranteed, very lightly guaranteed for 2 years. So it's basically amounts still to a training camp invite.
Right. But an inside track.
Right.
A lot
yes,
easier for
absolutely.
Them to do that.
And
that's, again, just a lot of cap maneuvering and stuff like that. I want to get first your thoughts on where you think Dragan Bender is.
Okay.
Because he had his best night, perhaps in the NBA tonight, mind you, in a dramatic losing effort.
Yeah, 23 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists in
completely unknown. I mean, garbage time counts too. His entire career might have been garbage time, but you got Dragan Bender on a 10-day. The guy from China who came in, he hasn't done squat since he got in.
Jason Randall.
I feel bad for Jason Randall, who didn't go to Cali, went to Stanford.
That's right.
And but then there's Toscano Anderson, and Toscano Anderson's already on a very similar deal to Mulder.
Yep.
You look at the body, you say this could probably work. But I don't know if I've seen the development, honestly, from my perspective. I think that he is a little bit better than when he first came into the fold. I'm not seeing some potential to be tapped into, because when you look at Mulder, you go, okay, well, he's a skill player. He's played hard on defense. He's not a good defender, but he's not like Lou Williams out there.
Right.
But the dude has the only skill that matters in the NBA these days. Really, that's it. When people talk about skill players, they're talking about one thing. Can he shoot?
Right.
That dude has a sweet-ass jumper.
Yes.
I can see why they signed him. Toscano Anderson, he has the length. You think that he could be a really solid, positive wing defender. I don't know if the shot is there to really make him anything more than an Alphonso McKinney type, and we know how those guys go in the NBA. But you're the guy who's been here every day. Have you seen his game develop at all? Because I would venture to say with this amount of playing time, you would want to see some tread on the tire.
Yeah, and that's the tough thing is you hit the nail on the head there. With that sort of playing time, 20-plus minutes a game, not tonight because he got hurt, and we don't know what the extent of that will be. And by the way, we should say Wednesday morning we should get an update. He'll be reevaluated
Wednesday
morning.
We're going to get a lot of updates on Wednesday.
Wednesday's going to be a day of updates. Good podcast coming for you Thursday.
Hot damn.
I agree with you. I haven't seen the flashes. Like, the thing about Mulder is he flashes. Oh, you hit a three-pointer. I see that.
Sometimes you see Mulder and you think he's one of the five best guys out of the 10 on the floor.
Sure, yeah.
That's good enough for me to be an end-of-bench guy, a depth guy who can come off, oh, well, this guy's in foul trouble and you're back. You don't want to play him that many minutes, but you can go to Mulder, and you know what? Mulder's going to knock down a damn shot. Like, there are a lot of guys who have way worse shots that have made a much longer living in the league.
Yeah.
And the Warriors, especially with their spacing, you need as many. They haven't developed a damn shooter since Steph Curry, and he came in as the greatest right. shooter of all time. Like, who have we seen the Warriors improve their shooting? They don't have a good shooting coach. I like a lot of the guys on the staff.
That's why they go for a Zach Norvell, and they do the Jeremy Pargos, and then they finally land on Michael Mulder. And
you
like,
find
oh,
something.
Well, we got,
yeah, great, you one. Keep cycling. It was through. The same thing they did
the
with
Damian
Lee.
The thing with Toscano Anderson is that, yeah, good point. The thing that they did with Toscano Anderson, though, he is a utility guy. He is ultimately a body.
He's a
2, a 3, and a 4, and he can guard those three positions. And yeah. you know what? If it's a situation where he's your 14th or 15th guy on your bench,
not a bad thing.
And you're down to 8 healthy players,
yeah.
you could slot him in somewhere. He's just a body, and I think
he could be an NBA player.
There's a room for that. And the thing with like,
but are we? If he is bigger for bottom of the barrel,
if he's bigger, more versatile, Jacob Evans, is that good enough? I don't know.
That's a great question,
because that's sort of what he's been. And I know I could tell you what the things that he's working on right now is attacking closeouts off the dribble, because he's an average shooter at best from yeah. 3-point range. He doesn't have much of a mid range or a floater or no. at the basket game whatsoever.
No, he's a 3 true outcomes, except none of those outcomes ever really come to pass.
And I don't love his handle. It's not tight enough.
It's not a good handle. We can just call it what it is.
We're talking about a guy that could barely dribble in a straight line, which is my issue with Alphonso McKinney.
He gets two or three dribbles, and after that, it's either going the other way or it's out of bounds.
That's right. And that's a problem, obviously.
Kind of necessary.
If he's your 15th guy that can be versatile, then that's good.
But is there a ceiling there? That's what I'm saying. When you don't see the pop, and yes, he could get a little bit better. And this is the thing, McKinney, you're like, damn, there were moments where you just thought like, listen, he's never going to be like a starter.
Right.
But hell, he could be a 9th guy,
yeah.
an 8th guy. And you think, and he's not the worst player. He's pretty good sometimes. Some nights sure. you would have a night and you'd be like, well, he's getting offensive rebounds. He's knocking down corner threes. He runs the floor well. You know, he's a pretty good defender at times when yeah. you don't actually isolate him in space. Like, you're thinking, hey, there might be something here. You can see the ceiling a little bit. And it's 8th, 9th guy. I just simply have not seen it. I want to see it because he's a great guy. I think that it's positive to have a local guy on the team, if we're just sure. being blunt.
Yeah.
I think that that body type certainly looks the part for the NBA. But I haven't even seen the flashes. And the Warriors fancy themselves a team that next year is going to be contending for a title. That's lofty. I think it's aggressive. But they should be a 4 or 5 seed that goes around further than most people expect.
If their offseason goes really, really well, they can contend.
We're talking sub-Giannis.
If they execute the $17 million trade exception, the MLE, and do something smart with that draft pick,
right,
then they can contend, I think, next season.
Unquestionably.
But does that contending team have Juan Toscano Anderson on it? I don't know. Or do they need that roster spot otherwise?
I just think that you shouldn't waste a roster spot on a guy that doesn't have massive upside.
Yeah.
If it's a guy who's at the very end of the bench, what I want is a guy like the kinds that they've let go away time and time again over the last couple of years. A Chris Boucher.
Yeah.
A Kendrick Nunn.
Yeah.
Those kind of guys who, listen, they're not going to get the run. But you got them on a deal. They're cheap as hell. And you can see how they could get better.
I think you need either high upside or just a veteran dude who knows what to do.
Totally. Like, but right now, you're in this weird in-between yeah. area.
And he ain't young. Juan Toscano Anderson. He'll be 27.
And that's the other thing. So I would love to keep him around. I think he's a really good guy. And maybe ultimately he's such a good guy that that's a character thing. But this team has a tremendous amount of character. They added a bunch in Pascal. I think Chris is a high character
sure.
guy.
Yeah.
I think Kai Bowman is a high character guy, despite his opinions on germs.
You gotta watch him.
But
they're three leaders, like Steph, Clay, and Draymond are all character guys.
And they all know how to balance off of each
That's
other, right.
right?
Like there's a spectrum there where right. Clay is the aloof one, who will also, by the way, it should be noted, Clay will play the bad cop in the locker room at times.
Right.
Steph, who is the super happy-go-lucky guy, but is diligent, trains harder than anybody else, but doesn't want to ruffle any feathers in the locker room. And then there's Draymond, who literally seeks out feathers to ruffle as to then motivate
him. He's a feather
him.
Ruffler.
Right. Like, and those three guys know how to play a locker
That's right.
room. Now, they don't have that Andre Iguodala type who can be the intellectual one. They don't have the Sean Livingston who has that sort of story. But, like, you got a Damian Lee who's nowhere near Sean Livingston. I don't want to blaspheme, but he's been the guy who's been through the fire. He's been a guy who's had to pull
yeah,
it out of the
he's
mud.
He's got street cred.
You got Marquise Chris, same sort of a thing.
Sure.
And he has that upside potential. I just I would love to see Toscano Anderson flash a little bit. If he comes back, and they have, I don't know, what, 13, 14 games left, something like that?
Yeah, 17.
17? Yeah, okay. Well, and who knows how many games they actually have
good
left.
Point.
I would like to see a game where the dude just goes off. Where the dude, I don't care who he's playing. I don't care if he's playing the third stringers on the Suns. Where he looks like the best player on the court for a seven-minute stretch.
We haven't seen that yet.
We have not seen that yet. And if I see that, then I'll go, there might be something there.
Right.
But all the other thing, too, and it should be noted, none of the Warriors were saying that that exists.
Right.
No one's hyping him up.
Right.
They've hyped up everybody else.
You could tell when they're very high on somebody. And they were very high on Michael Mulder. They were not high on Jason Randall, who is now officially 0-4 as a Warrior.
I feel bad for Jason Randall.
I don't.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. I mean, like, I would say they saved him
from China. They also, there's a little bit of, I think, never mind. We'll save that.
Fair enough. But, okay, but then let's flip that to Dragon Bender, right?
Right.
So the Warriors let you know who they like. Mm-hmm. Steve Kerr has made it very clear, and I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think he's just being nice. I think he really, really likes Dragon Bender.
He is the number one fan in the Dragon Bender fan club, and he is making it a point to let everybody know that. I don't think that everybody else in the Warriors organization is as high on Bender as Steve Kerr
is. I think that's why Steve's mentioning
him. Steve loves his skill set. I don't know that he loves Dragon Bender. I think that he loves his skill set, stretch five, and it's hard to find. It is a novel thing.
One, he can teach Marquise Chris a little bit more of that. Chris has turned into a younger JaVale McGee to a certain juncture.
Right.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. JaVale McGee's a strong NBA player.
Sure.
The Warriors don't want to spend on center. I think Marquise Chris is going to be the starting center for this team next year if they don't get somebody on that mid-level who's an established veteran, if they don't get somebody through that $17 million trade exemption, which I doubt that they spend any of that money on a center because, again, that's just not how they operate. They would like to have the keystone where they can switch up different lineups with that center position. I think they'd like more versatility. They'd like a couple different options there. This team carried six centers at one point, I think 2 years ago.
Most bullpen of them approach. Garbage.
Yeah, bullpen approach, perfectly put. But when it comes to,
With Bender, my thing is, I don't get it. Steve Kerr actually said something interesting about Dragon Bender. If you let him play through his mistakes, he's a good player. Great. You can play through your mistakes this year. You're playing on a G League team. Go play him.
Give him as many 10-day contracts as you need. That's honestly
next year, though, you don't get to play through those mistakes, dude, because you're playing 7-8 minutes a game, maybe. Right?
It is kind of stunning because there are moments. Now, tonight I don't think counts. It really doesn't.
I don't count it.
This game was over after the first quarter.
Yeah. Dragon Bender was asked in the press conference, do you think this was your best game as a pro? And he emphatically said yes, and there's a lot of self-branding in that answer.
Yeah, ain't that the truth.
There was a lot of marketing there.
But when I actually go and watch this game, I'm sure he looked pretty good.
I'm sure he had his moments against the backups on the Clippers.
I don't know. There was Zubac and
Zubac's not there. Good. Right, you did something against Zubac. Congrats.
Yeah, but still, I think Zubac is going to close for this team. Or JaMychal Green.
Bender went 2 of 5 from three-point range. There's just too many. But he also had three turnovers. There's too many. He's like,
it's weird. The thing with Dragon Bender,
he looks the part, but he's just a couple inches off of being a good NBA player almost all the time. Where sometimes he steps out of bounds. Or sometimes, you know, he'll make this crazy move. Like, he'll attack a closeout as a seven-footer. He'll attack a closeout right to the rim.
That's what I'm talking about with the flashes, by the way.
And then miss a layup.
Right.
And it's just like, dude, you got to complete. He's a couple of shades off. He's a couple of hairs off of being a very good NBA player. But that's everything in the NBA.
Yeah, and if you're not markedly getting better, and I guess there's still the jury's out, right? He's going to get some more time. I think that they'll sign him to another team.
I did ask him in the press conference. I said, what do you think you've gotten better at since you've been here?
Yeah.
And he completely just started talking about how much fun he's having with the team, which is a complete non-answer to my question.
That ain't good. It's not good. It's not good, and I'm wondering, ultimately, if Kerr is falling prey to what has happened with this team over the last couple of years, as they've had to really get creative to fill out the roster with cheap dudes. And I've called it, and will continue to call it, the pretty woman syndrome.
Yes.
Where they think they can save everybody.
That's right.
They thought they could save JaVale McGee, and to a degree they did.
Yep.
JaVale's an upstanding
smart
guy.
And then they tried to do it to Nick Young, and that didn't work.
And they tried to do it to DeMarcus Cousins, and it only got worse.
Right.
And Dragon Bender doesn't have any of the same, necessarily, stigmas that are carried along. But ultimately, he has a lot of the same things in a different way, as you described with, you know, like a Nick Young type.
Well, how many of these guys do you really want to be saving? I mean, you already did it with Marquise Chris. Congratulations. He is saved. He is qualified saved. Done. Saved. You're working on Andrew Wiggins currently. I mean, he had a decent game tonight. 21 points on 8 of 16 shooting, but the counting stats just aren't there for him all the time. 2 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, he just sort of floats through these things.
That's another guy who you see the flashes, but man, right now would be a great time to kick some ass.
He could be the, like, tonight he could have been the third best player on the floor, and he wasn't.
Yes.
I mean, just like for both teams. Obviously, that was Kawhi and Paul George. But
Yeah.
So look, this is what the answer. This is the answers that the Warriors have to get over the next 17 games of the season,
or the next 13 hours,
or the next 13 hours before the season is canceled.
Before we get out of here,
please,
sorry,
go for it.
What do you think about the Clippers?
I think they're good, but they're not as good as the Lakers.
I think, and perhaps this is an overly simplistic view, and I want to get your thoughts on this. All that matters are wings in the NBA playoffs. The last 9 NBA Finals MVPs have been wings.
Agreed.
You could argue it's been 13 if you want to call Kobe Bryant a wing, I would argue at the time he was, especially in that system. It's all about wings. They got 2 of the top 4. Now, we can argue that Paul George might not be a top 4 once it comes down to playoff time.
Who would be your top 4? In what order? Or I guess, forget the order, but just your 4. LeBron, Kawhi, Giannis? Are you putting Giannis as a wing? What do you even do with
big.
Giannis? I don't know. Yeah.
He's not a perimeter player.
I mean, Luka?
Luka's a perimeter player, but he's a point guard.
Yeah. Look, I agree. LeBron is the best wing. Like, when it comes down to if I have one possession where I need something to happen, I still want LeBron, especially in the playoffs. I understand Kawhi did some nice stuff last year.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have Kawhi.
A lot of people would, and I don't think that's the wrong answer. I would, but Anthony Davis sort of plays like a wing sometimes.
Well, that was actually going to be what I was going to say next. LeBron is playing point guard, and Davis is playing wing.
Mm-hmm.
One, you have to take into account if we're talking Lakers versus Clippers. And I don't think that we should necessarily disassociate the Rockets from this conversation. If they get the right matchups, weird stuff can happen.
Sure.
But, and OKC, by the way, is going to make a run at this. I have no idea how, but I got a good vibe about OKC. Okay. I feel like they match
Shea's
up.
Shea's going to make a leap.
I really like their matchups. But if we're talking Lakers and Clippers, one, do you trust Anthony Davis to get through an entire 7-game series?
I trust Anthony Davis more than I trust Paul George in the playoffs.
That's fair. And
I also feel like LeBron knows that he eats Paul George's lunch when he wants it.
I think that the Lakers' depth and the Lakers' secondary players are big questions. Danny Green looks washed as hell.
Yeah.
He can't run anymore. They're counting on Avery Bradley, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, JaVale McGee, and Kyle Kuzma. Oh, and by the way, Rajon Rondo, don't worry, we'll get some, if you want some good content from LA, we're going to get a lot of playoff Rondo talk.
I think that Frank Vogel would be, at some point, smart enough to take Rondo out of these playoff games. But Alex Caruso is borderline an all-star. I think you're forgetting about him. But
He's a decent enough player, actually. People want to shit on Alex Caruso, the Lakers, but he's good.
What I think, so I've been picking the Lakers since the beginning, so I think I'm a little biased, but I know that my stance on these things is I'm anti-fit. I think fit is overrated as all hell. And I think at the end of the day,
I'm anti-fits, but I don't know if I'm anti-NBA fits. I'm NBA. I'm
anti-drip, anti-germs, anti-dem germs.
And I'm definitely anti, they never shoot like this fits. But
I do think that when it comes down to it, the Lakers are the only team in the league that have 2 of the top 5 players in the league. That's it. And that super matters.
Yeah, you know who else might be able to make that argument?
Who?
The Clippers.
Paul George, man. I don't know that he's top 5.
I think we already saw the best peril.
Okay. I think we saw the best version of Paul George that we'll ever see last year.
I think that's a fair assessment. Listen, a lot of this is speculation on my part.
Yeah.
Paul George is really good when he wants to be.
Now, the thing with the Clippers is they have the outline of those Bulls teams with Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and European center and other players that can occasionally do things.
So why wouldn't I love them?
No, I get it. But, our generation of Michael Jordan currently plays on the Lakers, not on the Clippers.
Kawhi's game is a lot more similar to Jordan's.
I agree. LeBron is way more dominant.
On a
possession-to-possession basis, I find LeBron more dominant.
Can't disagree with that. I do think that there will be an interesting dynamic at play. LeBron is clearly wearing down a little bit as the season has progressed. All right. He really turned it out for the last 2 games.
He did.
He really did. And you could tell the entire Lakers team did.
Yeah.
They had something to prove. That's great. Yeah. I wish more games felt like that in the regular season. Man.
I'm really excited for the Western Conference.
He took, well, and we'll hopefully get it, but he took 200 days off between last season and this one.
Yeah.
He came out with a vengeance, lulled, and now he's back. And now got everybody. I mean, by the way, the coronavirus only helping his MVP chances.
Sure.
I mean, apparently he's the only one who has to navigate through this. I do question when it really gets into super crunch time if his legs are up for it. Yeah. And I think it's fair to wonder.
He's old.
There's a level of Tom Brady-ness to it.
There is. And Anthony Davis is his Gronk. And I think we got one more championship at LeBron.
Fair enough. It'll be fun.
That wraps up this edition of Locked On Warriors. Remember to subscribe to new episodes of Locked On Warriors on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts. If you're on iTunes, rate us, review us, say nice things about us. And now, tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked On NBA. Thanks for listening.